I've been watching this little guy, John, this morning. Some of you have seen him. John has got more energy than half of you. It's been pent up all week. It's being released. Dr. Howard Hendricks, a long time ago, went to a church. If you don't know who Howard Hendricks is, he was a great man of faith and teacher, and he went to a church one time, a huge church, thousands, 10,000 people. And he was in this one class, and the teacher said, Dr. Hendricks, now in this class, do you see, I don't need to get any louder, do I? Said, Dr. Hendricks, you see my problem? I'm trying to teach these kids, and every few minutes they get up and they cause disturbances. And he said, Madam, I do see the problem, but it's not the kids. It's you. Well, that really shocked this Sunday school teacher who had devoted so much of her time. He said, I don't mean to be personal on this, but the problem is that every 2 minutes you're telling them to sit down, and every 2 minutes God is tickling them and telling them to get up. He said, your problem is you're opposing what God has put within them. Now, I understand, being a father of 5 children, we want some law and order in the house. But John wants to be a part of things. He just needs some more direction. He needs people to come alongside him and say, John, this is what it means to follow Jesus Christ. It's what it means. John, have a good look around you. There's all kinds of people here that I pray over the course of your life will impact you greatly. And then in the next generation, you'll do the same. That's what I'm praying. That's what I'm praying. That's what I pray for us as God's people, that actually we make such an impact that the community would never be the same. See, God's plan is that he doesn't want people not to know him. He wants people to know him, and he wants to use you and I. Isn't that incredible? That exciting? That get any of you up or not? This isn't about me drumming you up. This is about God actually poking your heart. If it's me poking, it'll probably hit your eye. If God pokes, it'll hit your heart. I want to just thank the worship team and these guys that have gathered. I had somebody else say to me out here, you know, it'd be good. We don't know all the pastors who are involved in this. And this isn't about us, so maybe that's why you don't know. but this really is about Jesus. But I've got some great brothers and sisters in the community here that I do get together with, and we pray with together, and we pray over this region, really. And we celebrate the fact that God is at work. You know, the first people here, I think, were Baptists, and they sat that far back. That was the first row. They thought they were in the back. They didn't realize, oh, shoot! We should have planted ourselves by the road. It's good. God put you, he reversed things on you this morning. Isn't that exciting? Some here, were any of you here when Canada was first formed? I wasn't sure. A few of you are close, I can see that. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, we've got, there's a guy just fiddling around up here. That's Blake Found. Okay? And Blake pastors the Free Methodist Church in town. And keeping things to a rhythm. Back here is, we call him Curb Daddy Stacks. That's Pastor Kirby Constable on the bass. A good friend of mine, Barry Webster, and he's got such a heart to worship God. It's just so exciting. And he was so thrilled to be able to lead a team to worship God here in this park together today. Isn't that exciting? It's awesome. Who else is around? Oh, we got some other ministers, right? Sean's at the back, and Brittany, and Megan, and Ian. And they're all ministers. Did you know that? We're all called to be a royal priest. It's already been said. Kathy led us in prayer. Kathy McIntosh from UBC, and Kathy and Dave, and our hearts are out for you this week in the loss of your mom, Dave. I was talking to Ian, though, earlier. Glory to God. He said, she's where we all want to be. And by the grace of God, she went gently and peacefully in her sleep, I heard. Praise God. Isn't that, I just want to shut my eyes someday and open them and see Jesus. I want to be like the blind man. That they came to him and they said, who was it that healed you? And he said, I don't know. Somebody said something to me, put a little mud in my eye and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. I don't know who it was, so I didn't see them. But I'll know his voice. Oh, it's so exciting to know the voice of God. I don't know, is Jim here this morning? I saw a contingency from Family Worship Center. Is Jim here this morning? Jim's back there? Come on, Jim Hackner's in the house. All right, he's waving from the back. He's making sure nobody leaves. Isn't that exciting? Have I missed anybody? Sean, where's Sean? Sean, he's in the sun. He's just excited to be back there with his family for a Sunday. So good, Sean. Great. And Dale Dawson is on sabbatical right now. And we want to bless him in that. And also Andrew Allison, and they've got a whole bunch of baptisms today. And he said, we're going to be praying for you, though, that you have a great weather. And I don't know if anyone here is from St. Paul's, but there's some exciting things happening. And I want to get into God's word a little bit. I want to encourage you. I hope it's an encouragement. The last thing I want to do is be a discouragement. And so I pray I'm not that. Yep, there's John again. And I'm telling you, I hope that in another 20 years, I've still got the same energy that John has. Oh, Lord. Maybe I'll be walking with John at that time. Maybe he'll be leading me. I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture to you. Just want to make a couple of suggestions as we gather for this Sunday called One. And we're going to look at a passage out of Ephesians chapter 4. And then a couple others. I won't tell you the others right now. You'll just be kind of, if you've got your Bibles, who has a Bible with them? And I'm not talking, like some of you have your device, I know that, and so that's great. Makes it so easy, doesn't it, for us to carry around God's Word. But it doesn't mean that it's any less dusty than if it was a book. So I want to encourage you to actually crack open your Bibles and to spend time with the Lord daily. We have a great resource in our hands, and it was mentioned to us already. The mayor said it about us being here, being free, not living in fear of what's going to happen next. Well, with the mic in my hands, maybe some of you are. Listen, I really celebrate, and I was sitting here worshiping, and I was just so grateful to God. I didn't turn around and look, but I just knew. I knew that there was a great contingency from churches across this area. And that's just so exciting. That's so my heart. And it's the heart of the pastors here. That's an exciting thing. And whether you realize that or not, just thank God for that. Thank you again, Mayor, for mentioning that prayer of thanksgiving. Having a heart of gratitude is so important. I want to read to you then out of Ephesians chapter 4. That's what it says. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I want to leave it right there right now. And Father, this is your word, and we pray that your word would not only enlighten our hearts, but ignite our hearts towards your truth. And that we would seek to serve you with everything that you've given to us. What does it mean to be one? What does it mean to keep the unity through the bond of peace? What does it mean that we are at different churches and we're do this and they don't do that. And isn't it easy to divide things? Isn't that easier? Isn't it easy? We have five kids. They're not all kids anymore. We have five, and half the time it would be easier to split up into about five different directions. If it was all based off what this one wanted or what this one wanted or what this one wanted, it would. And we had to come to a realization fairly quickly when our kids were young that if we were ever going to be able to do anything at all, we would have to work together. And the best ones to operate that paradigm was our kids. Jake actually realized that even though I told the kids to get into the van, the last person off and into the van was me. And so one day when he was still fairly young, I said, everybody get into the van. And Jake was standing at the door and I said, Jake, what are you doing? He said, Dad, I'm waiting for you. And I realized, oh, okay, so I'm trying to get everybody out, but I'm still running around for 15 minutes and we're not together. And so we changed our practice of how we got into the van then. And my kids still have to remind me sometimes, Dad, you're the last one again. But we want to go places together. We want to do things together. And that's the heart of the pastors of the churches. And it's not just the heart of the pastors of the churches. It seems to me, and I hope we would see together that it seems to be really the heart of God. It's the heart of God, that we would go places together. Do you believe that? One of the hard things is when we see things or when we know things, sometimes in our culture, we think we're doing them. I don't know if it's unique to our culture. A few of us had an opportunity last fall to be in the Middle East together and to experience other churches together in some distant lands, into lands that, don't worry, that's just my Harley brothers coming. That we were in these distant lands and we were worshiping together, and they were so excited because they were in nations actually where it is not really possible to share your faith. So when they gathered together, there was such a joy among them. They didn't want it to end. They wanted to continue on. They wanted to encourage one another and build each other up in faith. They wanted to speak blessing over one another. And sometimes that's a hard thing for us. We're so individual. We'll go here for this and we'll be there for that. But come on, you've got to be prepared to do that, don't you? What about sharing what we believe? Isn't that only if you've gone to Bible college or something like that? Or I'll be a part of this, but that's asking too much of me. And we're a family together. And as a family together, if we're going to go somewhere, we've got to go together. There was a number of years ago, my son Jesse and I were in South Africa. And we were in the airport of Johannesburg, Tambo International, and we were there. And as we were walking through, through the gate we were going through, there was this African proverb. And some of you will know it as soon as I say it. But it said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. That's something. And it struck me, and I thought about the church. I thought how often we spin a plate over here and we try to get something going and we try to do something over here and well, we're doing this and won't you come and see it and we're doing that and we still divide. And I'm excited when I hear things. I Celebrate Recovery has just started at UBC. I want to just share that they haven't asked me to do a plug for them. And I'm not up here to do advertisements or announcements or anything, but it just struck my heart that if you are struggling with any addiction of any kind, there are people whose hearts have come through that and who God has led through and is strengthening in that, and you need to be strengthened in that area. You don't need to walk alone. You go further together. See, Scripture says this. Jesus said it. He said that the devil, the enemy, comes to maim, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And we all have seen some of those graphic images, whether it's the National Geographic or on BBC, and you've seen the hunting lions or some predator come in, and they come into a herd of gazelle or even of water buffalo, and they come into the midst of them, and what do? They try to just get one off to the side all on its own, don't they? The weakest. The one that can protect itself the least. And they get it alongside, just off on its own, and then they attack. And that's the strategy of the enemy. And I just got to say this. We need to confess to God that we've played into the hands of the enemy for far too long. We've gotten over onto this side all off on our own, or done this, or I don't have to be a part of that. And here we are together. And wasn't there the sense of the Spirit of God in our midst this morning as we were worshiping? So much so that John's heart was struck. He just couldn't contain himself. And he was going from blanket to blanket to blanket. And he was coming up and being a part of the dance troupe. And then he was going back, and his grandma was having to rein him in. Wouldn't it be wonder if the Holy Spirit just had to rein us in? Because we just couldn't wait to be doing something with one another and finding ourselves actually alongside of what God was doing. I found myself actually a week ago, I had my first ambulance ride. So exciting. Now, I was behind the gurney because my son Isaac had been in a rugby match and he had broken his arm. My brother Graham and I were standing side by side at the time because Josh was out playing as well. And I saw Isaac with the ball. I saw the play that was happening. And as he was making a pitch back to one of his teammates, I thought, oh dear, his arm's in a precarious position. And sure enough, it was. And hard surface wins. And two bones were broken and arm was going in angles it should never have gone in. And they called the ambulance, and the parents' worst nightmare. It's just a good thing Stacy wasn't there. She wouldn't have waited until the ref called my name. Right? A mother doesn't do that. A mother would throw blocks and punches and whatever she needed to do to get to the side of. If our kids have any strength, it comes from their mom. And the ambulance came and the assessment was made, and then we moved into the ambulance, and then we were taken to the hospital and triage, and then emergency, and then doctors and nurses and x-rays, and then reduction of the break. And then this last week again, or just a couple of days ago, I had to go with Isaac and he got his cast on and it had to be reduced again, and I got to be a part of that, which was really exciting. But in all of these things, one of the things that struck me is, my goodness, these people know how to work as one. I mean, everybody knew what they were doing and everybody knew what they were called to do. And I was so thankful. I was so thankful. Like, there was nobody just sitting off on the side going like, well, I'm not really getting along with the doctor right now, so I'm not going to help. Like the ambulatory crew, they weren't there saying, well, you know what? Which hospital should we go to? I don't know. Let's pray about it. Amen. Anybody got an answer? No? Okay, let's pray again. No, they didn't do that. They were like, okay, listen, Dad, you got your choice between these two hospitals because your son needs attention. There are bones that are out of place that need to be put back in, and we've got a choice to make right now, and here we go. And I'm like, well, get there as fast. Put the sirens on. I'm in it to win it. And And I'm texting my sister-in-law, Jen. Some of you know, I think, one of the best doctors in our land. And I'm texting her, and I'm like, and I'm sending pictures. That's pretty new, isn't it? Can I get an assessment? And she sends back the name of the break, even. Oh, that's a reverse Coley's, I say to the ambulatory crew. Otherwise known as a Smith fracture. And they look at me and they say, are you an ortho? I said, well, kind of. But they all knew what they were doing. They all knew what they were doing. They all knew what they were purposed to do, and they did it well. And I was so thankful. As a father, I was so thankful. Then I got into that hospital with Isaac, and we were all lined up, a whole crew of us lined up, needing attention, some more desperate than others. And thank God they actually had a protocol for that. They were like, oh, you need to get in there right now. You actually can sit. I know you think you're the worst case right now, but you're not. Sit down. And the people, okay. I loved it. One time this mom who was like, I think a single child, and something had happened to her child and she was in there, and I'm like, I don't know if there's a problem with him or not, but I can see half the problem involved here. And God bless her. And she said, well, doctor, what do we do? He said, I'll tell you what you can do. You can leave. She said, well, what do you mean? He said, I've already given you the prognosis. There's nothing wrong with him. You can go so that we can actually look after those that need it. I was like, yes, amen. Said, they knew what they were doing. Church, do you know what you're doing? Because there is a broken world all around us. Have you seen it? Maybe your heart has been broken too, and maybe pieces of your life are broken apart that need to be put back together, and you couldn't find yourself in a better place than here in the midst, and the Holy Spirit moving among us. There is a broken world all around us. There are people desperate. Yeah, just yesterday. It was the day we were reading, Friday. Friday we were reading, we were there, a neighbor had a flood in their basement, and so I left the reading. I said to those that were reading for the proclamation at our church building, I said, listen, guys, I don't know what's going on there, but I see all this activity. I want to just go down and see what's going on. And so I went down to see what was going on, and as I was there, I just helped out a little bit, and I've got a truck now, so I was throwing pumps in the back and ferrying it back and forth, and I felt so good just to get in. Just to be in, up to my elbows and stuff with other people. It's part of my heart, part of my DNA. And there I was in the midst of it. And as I was there, I met all these guys. And then I went back up to read the Bible again. And as I was reading the Bible, I saw one of the guys that had been at the house outside. And I thought, oh, he's come back up to talk to me. And so I walked outside again. I said, excuse myself again. And I went back outside. And I went back outside to him, and he was on the phone. And he finished the phone call, and he was walking away, and I said, hey, is everything okay? He turned back, and he said, yeah, it's fine. And the Holy Spirit said to me, it's not fine. So I said, are you sure everything is okay? I said, is there a problem at the house? He said, no, there's not a problem at the house. I said, well, I can tell there's something going on. How can I help you? And this young man told me about how he and his wife are at odds right now, and they're not sure if things are going to work out. I just met him 10 minutes before. And I'm convinced that God works that quickly, and I'm going to be that quick so that we can run if we need to. You know, God might want to scatter us today. He might want to, he did that early in the church. You know that, eh? He scattered the church to do his work and his purposes, because they had become so ingrained with each other, and he said, no, I want you to go out now. Persecution happened, and they went out. That young man, though, he said that, and I said, listen, I've got a practice. I want to give it to you today. One of the practices that I do is I don't say I'll pray for you. I'll say that, but I always forget. Does anyone else have a poor problem with your memory? You might tell somebody you'll pray for them, and then you don't. Next time you see them, they say, hey, thanks for praying for me. And you're like, you're welcome. God bless you. Well, I did that too much. And so about 20 years ago, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit to just pray for them right then and there. And usually then I remember. Isn't that the way? Then I'll be doing something and God will bring it to mind because I've already committed it to my memory. And so I just said, listen, I don't know where you're from, what you do, and I just know your name, but can I pray for you? And this man that I just met looked at me in tears in his eyes. He said, I'd appreciate that. And so I prayed for him. And then a guy that I just met 10 minutes earlier hugged me. I'm a little uncomfortable with hugs, just so you know. No, I'm not. Stacy cured me of that a long time ago. What does it mean to be one? What does it mean to work together? What does it mean actually to be the people of God in this place at this time? What does it mean to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace? It would mean this, wouldn't it? One thing, above all things, wouldn't it mean that there are short accounts on anything that's offended? Have you ever been, who here has ever been offended in the church? This is your one chance. If you've been offended, put your hand up. Okay, they're all over here. I don't know what church they're a part of, but go and minister to them. They're all with you. Kirby, they're all with you? God bless you. God bless you. Listen, how many of you have ever been angry with somebody else in the church? Go ahead, put your hand up. Oh, okay, they're not all at your church anymore, Kirby. They're all at mine. And they're looking at me like this. Fact is this, folks. As we live and breathe, the enemy's at work. And he desires to tear down. He desires to tear apart. He desires to kill, actually, what God wants to do. That's the truth. And sometimes we find ourselves playing into his hand very easily when we're not actually spending our time with the one who would call us to something greater. And so I want to encourage you in that. If you were to have one person pray for you, who would it be? You? The Reverend. The Reverend. Mr. Kirby, like I'm not going to get all, there was a pastor that one time was talking, doing a children's story. Remember those? Some of you still may do them. And he was talking about a squirrel. And he described the animal. He said, boys and girls, I saw something this week. It was red. And it had four legs, and it grabbed an acorn, had a bushy tail. What is it? And one boy said, Jesus. Right? Like that's, because the answer always to children's stories is Jesus, of course. Well, the answer to that one is Jesus. If I was going to have anybody pray for me, I mean, he prayed for Lazarus. Stacy and I were talking about this last week, and Stacy said, you know, I don't know. Jesus was weeping. I think he was weeping because he had to call Lazarus back into the fray, back as a testimony. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays, and actually he prays even for us. Is that exciting? You've had Jesus pray for you. Did you know that? How many of you didn't know that Jesus has prayed for you? Actually says that he's at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on your behalf. Does that give any of you cause for delight? You've wondered who's been praying for you? Jesus said this in the upper room with the disciples. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What a prayer. Prayer given for you and I by Jesus. Back, 2 months ago, we were talking about this day and we were going to meet, and a few of us were going to meet. And Kathy said, well, why don't we meet in my office? It's bigger than yours. I said, Kathy, it's not really about comparing. Serious. If any of you took that seriously, take it away. God's just pointing out it's something that you need ministry in. You're quick to blame. We met at Kathy's office, and we met there. And I mean, I grew up at Uxbridge Baptist Church, and so, I hadn't been there for a while, and it was good to be with Kathy and Barry, and we talked about things and leading forth, and we actually decided at that time that this was going to be called One. And we looked at that passage of scripture out of Ephesians and that chapter, passage out of John 17. And then we prayed and we left. And as we left, I was in my truck and I was looking across the road at a house, and the Walker house. I didn't know who lived there now, and I didn't know really. I went to school with Gene Walker, and so I grew up going to Uxbridge Baptist. I remember stopping in there one time, and but I looked at that house, and you know, the housing market, and I've got a bit of an entrepreneurial brain, just not the money. So I was looking at that house, and I thought, my goodness, I wonder why no one has bought that house and has fixed it up or torn it down and flipped it and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, God, maybe you've saved it for me. Maybe I'll go across and just knock on the door and see who's there. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. 2 weeks later, though, we were in the same place. And over those 2 weeks, I talked to Stacy. I said, I can't get this house off my mind. Something's going on. I don't know what to do about it. And she said, well, Craig, pray about it. And so we prayed together about it. And then we met in Kathy's office again. And I got out of Kathy's office after that second meeting. And I was sitting in my truck and I was looking across at this house. And I said, God, you have placed that house so much in the crosshairs for me. I don't know what to do with it. But I don't want to do anything that you don't want to do. So help me now, because I'm getting out of the truck and I'm walking across to knock on the door. And I got out of my truck and I started walking, and I got to the edge of the parking lot and I started onto the road. And as soon as I started onto the road, the door opened to the house and out walked Philomena Walker. And my heart leapt. And I just started to chat with her a little bit. I told her who I was. She didn't have a clue who I was, except she knew my family a little bit. And I told her I knew Gene, went to school with him, asked about all of that, and just started to talk with her about what she was doing and what her needs were. And she said, I really want to fix this place up. And that's when God said to me, that's why I sent you over here. And so I shared that with some of the other pastors, and they said, hey, we're in. What do you need? And so we've had groups of people come from St. Paul's Leesdale, and we've had groups come from UBC, and we've had a few other stragglers coming in, and the house is being transformed right now to the glory of God, because God cares for Philomena. Now, she would be so embarrassed. Now, I invited her here today, and I don't know if she showed up or not, but if you see a lady running quickly, it'd be her, because she would not want the attention, and please don't all go over and just stand in front of her house right now. But I want to tell you this, we're going to have a party at her house someday. Not very far from now. When we finish the work, we're going to have a party there. Because God heard the cry of Philomena's heart, And he said, Craig, will you have eyes to see what I want to do? Or just simply eyes to see what you want and what you can do? When I met with Philomena, I said, now listen, Philomena, don't try to get a loan or anything right now. And she goes, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I said, neither do I. Except to say this, I believe that God wants to do something. I said, maybe it's just in my own heart, Philomena, but God wants to do something. Would you be a part of God doing something just in my heart? And she just looked at me like, are you okay? My ambulance ride almost happened earlier. I think she was ready to call 911. I got a guy that says he's a pastor on my front lawn. I don't really know him. Says he wants to do something because God's stirring his heart. Scripture says that actually, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I just, if we're going to be one, if we're going to go in the same direction, my goodness, we need to hear from Jesus, not from our own opinions, not from what we see as the resources around us, not what we believe is possible, but we need to get down on our faces before God and we need to repent. Mayor, I want to just thank you. You're part of the crew that put together buying Kennedy Fields, right? Were you part of that whole business? There is a place that in the midst of growing up, I went past it day after day of my life growing up. St. John's, it was called then. And it was a place that was institutionalized and actually became a place of great suffering for countless young men. And I went past it every day and I didn't know. I'm telling you, it breaks my heart today. Young men that they just said, oh, these are bad boys, and they're trying to run because some of them were trying to run just to survive from that place. And you know what? The churches should have got together and bought that place and torn it down. I'm so thankful that our council here did, because it stood as a testimony of what was wrong, and I pray that from now on, the church would be a part of building what is right and good and true and holy, and not just our own opinions, but the glory of God breaking forth among us because we are God's people, hearing his voice and moving in his power. That's what I pray. I don't mean to preach to you. Sometimes God grabs my heart. Howard Hendricks said it years ago. I'm telling him to just speak more quietly. God's telling him to raise his voice. And so as God's people, how do we move? How do we live? Because Paul said this, in him we live and move and have our being. And if you and I are going to be one, we got to get in with him. And we got to move with him. And we got to celebrate everything that he's doing in our midst, whether it's this church or that church. Whether we think we've got it all together and they've got it all wrong, let's raise the bar on this one. We claim Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior over all, in whom all authority in on heaven and on earth is given. And in his name we give thanks. Amen. You and I are only one. Because one day, one man, the God-man, was nailed to one cross. And on that cross, he looked out upon through generations yet to be and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so come, Holy Spirit, and lead us in what it means to be one. Lead us what it means to be the church. Father, we give you thanks and praise because you are good. As the wind picks up and blows upon this place, Holy Spirit, would you move any dust of our hearts that needs to be removed? Purify our eyes that we would see clearly. Soften our heart to be able to love like you. Lord, bring us together in order that we might celebrate not only today, but for all eternity, all that you are doing in our midst. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.